Well, I don't often do this, so I thought, well, let me indulge myself a little, if I may. And I'm going to share with you a verse. I wouldn't say it's a favourite verse, but it's one that has helped me immensely. So it's a verse I've found to be of great significance to me. But first of all, we're going to look at one verse, which is actually the summary of what I'd like to read, first of all, in Romans chapter 7. So if you've got Romans chapter 7, this is a familiar sort of passage, and I'd like to just read verse 13. We won't go round, but I will just read from verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Well, I know this is a bit of a controversial passage and people have different interpretations, but I'm going to go what I believe is the right interpretation. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. And there's a verse here which I found very helpful and I think summarizes the whole passage that we've just read. So it's all condensed into one verse. So I'm just going to read the one verse and then we'll think about it a little. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, we could read the whole context, but I want to focus really on this verse. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Okay? Now this is a verse I found very, very helpful. So I became a Christian when I was young, and when I was 15, Galatians 5, 17. Right from the word go, I had a tremendous desire to live a holy and a godly life. And eventually I was taken under the wing of Christians who were incredibly prayerful and zealous and godly. I think some people today would say they were a little bit legalistic. I personally don't think so, but I know they get that criticism. But they were very, very zealous. And we were encouraged to be, you know, young men and women of prayer and zeal and all the rest. And I have to say, all these years later, you know, here I am, I can't believe how old I am. Can you believe I'm past 21? all these years later, I still have a tremendous desire to love the Lord, to pray, to be a man of God, to be a man of the book, to witness, etc., etc. I imagine that's probably true of all of us. That, you know, you remember your first conversion, or your conversion rather, and your first flurry of Christian activity. Yes, only one conversion. And your first flurry of Christian zeal and etc. And here we are, all, we wouldn't be here tonight, except there's a desire in our heart to please the Lord and serve the Lord. But, let's go back to when I first became a Christian. There were things in my life once I trusted Christ that immediately changed. One of them, to be honest, was bad language. I was small at school. You can't imagine that now. Looking at me, you think, oh, really? But because I was the smallest in the class and the very last one in the class to go out of short trousers into long trousers, those are the days. He sort of wanted to prove that you were big with so-called bad language. And the moment I was converted, that just stopped. Nobody ever said you mustn't swear again, but I can honestly say, 58 years of being a Christian, I've never used bad language. It just went. But there were other things that were a struggle. And I didn't want to be as I was, but they were a struggle. And time again, I'd come to the Lord and say, Lord, it's happened again, etc. Will you wash me yet again? And then I'd be encouraged by, yes, 70 times 7, and then I'd work it out and be, oh no, I've sinned more than 490 times, etc. This is my young mind. And here I am, all these years later, and I still battle with things. And I still, they may not be the same things as then, but it seems to me that there are different temptations and different sins as you mature, you know, and things that I'd never have dreamt of when I was young, I sort of battle with now. Amazing. So there is this, here's one me, but within me, there is a continual, ongoing battle. The trouble is that sometimes I do want to be really, really godly. But I have to say at other times, I want to be really wicked as well. And you sort of think, Roger Carlson, is this me a Christian? And I'm having such wrong desires and aims, etc. But this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. Let's have a look at it. This is why I find it so encouraging. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so you do not do the things that you wish. Right, so I have these desires to be deeply spiritual, a real man of God, but the trouble is the flesh, the natural side of me, wars against it and sort of holds me back from being the real man of God that I want to be and the godly person I want to be. But also, I have these desires at times to be really wicked. And yet, the spirit wars against the flesh. So actually, though sometimes I might be really wanting to be terrible, actually, God himself holds me back from those things. So the flesh holds me back from being as spiritual as I want to be, and the Holy Spirit himself holds me back from being as wicked as I want to be. And then it's so, so clear. These are contrary to one another. They aren't they? And there's this conflict going on within this little brain of mine, this little heart of mine, wanting to be one and yet drawn to the other. Wanting not to be like that, but then drawn back from it, etc. You do not do the things that you wish. And I think, frankly, this does characterize us as Christians. We're held back from great wickedness, please God, but we're also held back from great godliness. And the Lord knows that. He understands us. Years ago, a godly old man who came out with some classic quotations to me, and some of them have stuck. For instance, he said about preaching. He said, Roger, he said, I found that when I preached and I had no sense of liberty, I found actually those were the times when I was most helped, and the times I felt everything was going well, nothing seemed to be accomplished. I've never forgotten that. But he said this, and it shocked me to begin with. He said, Roger, I have never been a disappointment to God. And I looked and I said, I beg your pardon. He said, I've never been a disappointment to God. He took me on as a poor, wretched, miserable sinner, and I've never been a disappointment to God. And I know what he's saying. That doesn't mean that we treat sin lightly at all. Bishop Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, said we should never excite sin, we should never expect sin, and we should never excuse sin. So, yeah, we're not saying we treat sin flippantly or lightly, but we do recognise that as long as we live, we're going to think and say and do things that we shouldn't. But we come back to the Lord, don't we? And we ask for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse us afresh from all sin. And he does refine us, and he does work within us. And I suppose that's why some of the battles I faced when I was young are no longer battles. It's not just growing older. But you trust that the Lord has refined us and chipped away to mould and make us more like the Lord Jesus. And we face new battles. And eventually, that old man, to use a biblical phrase, I don't mean literally me now, but that old man will be done away with, and we will be set free from all temptation and sin. I suppose this verse has been an encouragement to me, so it's not left me discouraged and defeated, thinking, oh, what's the matter with me? Especially, you look at others and you think, oh, they're so godly, and look at me. And but we're all in this battle. I don't know who you think is the most saintly person you've ever met. For me, it's Dot, of course. They'll have the same battles as us. And the most mature Christian will have the same battles as us. But nevertheless, there is the Holy Spirit who holds us back and keeps us from falling into dire sin. So we walk with him, we experience the battle, but we experience the Lord of the battle as well. I think that's what Romans chapter 7 is teaching. Paul's amplifying the experience that he has, but here in Galatians 5 verse 17, he's summarizing it.